information presented on For the People is provided as general legal information. The general legal information is intended to inform consumers, is not intended to substitute for specific legal advice as it relates to the listener's specific legal issue. Consumers are cautioned not to rely on the general legal information broadcast on For the People as legal advice. No attorney-client relationship is created, intended, or implied between the consumers of For the People and Deborah Rainey Esquire, the Compassionate Lawyer, or the Law Office of Deborah D. Rainey. Please consult with an attorney for your specific legal issue.
We the People, says the Constitution. Created for creating solutions. However, we the people lack the understanding. Legal terms and conditions sound written on another planet. Our rights we take for granted, often signing away our chances, because we don't really know the circumstances. I swear I can't stand it. Then we're so demanding, quick to throw up a picket sign in the streets to exercise our freedom of speech, when the situation could have been avoided from the start if we the people conquered basic knowledge of the law. So this is for the people. Law in plain language, breaking it down for us in layman terms. Deb expressing her compassion and will for us to learn, not for a check, but to address how to win in these streets. This show is for you. This show is for me. It's for the people.
Yo, yo, yo.
Okay, I just wanted to actually just give a little idea about what the Prison to Pipeline is about. Basically, what it deals with is, okay, I'm just going to give you a scenario. Once upon a time, if Johnny and Mark got into a fist fight after school, what would happen is you would get a crowd of people who just wanted to watch the fight. Mark would win, they would shake hands, eventually the two would become friends. But today, if Johnny and Mark had a fight after school, the police would be called, the SWAT team would arrive, they would arrest Johnny and Mark, they'd be charged with assault, and both would be expelled, even though Johnny started it.
What's up? Sorry about the confusion, folks. We had a video, YouTube video, that was pretty powerful. We'll try to find that and get that on for you for after our break. What time is it?
It's time for the People, Law and Plain Language.
Almost at 8:05.
Yeah. You're listening to For the People, Law and Plain Language on www.gtownradio.com. G-Town, no, what?
A sound from Germantown.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's me, your host, your girl, Deb Rainey, the Compassionate Lawyer. Before I go any further, you're going to hear a new voice tonight in addition to our guests, and I'm going to introduce her first just because she's a budding FTP hopeful. Those of you out there listening, I want to ask you to do something for us. Hit the Facebook page. Tell us what you think about Breeze. Then we're going to make our determination whether we think she's going to make a permanent member of the team or not. Introducing my family, Black, the Broke Poet. What's up, fam?
What's up? The Broke Poet in the building.
Chamar. I almost got it. Introducing Breanne Anderson, a.k.a. The Breeze. Get up on the mic.
The Breeze.
All right, y'all. This is the voice that you're going to listen to and tell us how she's doing. Join us in the studio also is Aunt Robin. Hey, Aunt Robin.
Hi.
Okay. Yeah.
Hi.
Y'all say hi.
Special guests tonight are to my right. I know you can't see him. Is Ian Ranzer. Ian's a cool guy. He's really fun. He has a show here on G-Time Radio on Wednesdays from 12 to 2 called Mount Airy Groove, and I was telling people about it, and I was calling it Mount Airy Garage.
Some people call it the Mary Grove, too, I noticed.
Say what's up, Ian.
How you doing out there? It's good to be here. It's like that you could fit me in this tiny room.
Joining us, our Rico and Curl-Host friend of ours, part of the fam, Mary Troop Serum Pitts. What's up, Mary?
What's up? Oh, man, this is not this one. What's up, everyone? Glad to be here.
Is that mic turned on? Hard at work on the Facebook page is Senorita Nora. What did she say last time? So, ladies and gentlemen, tonight's show was called The School to Prison Pipeline, From Detention Hall to Detention Center, When Child's Play Becomes Criminalized. Before we get into that really quick, last week we did Unsung Black American Heroes. And what was cool, we reached out to a lot of our brethren from the G-Town Community, G-Town Radio, and all of them, most of them anyway, I should say, especially Ian, Maggie. What's up, Maggie Nolan? Gabe Bryant from Stepping Into Tomorrow. Pastor Amy Yoder from the Germantown Midnight Church. They all sent us some of their unsung folks. We had some callers that called in. I'm not going to tell you who their unsung heroes are because you got to go find the podcast and you got to listen to it.
Hold on. I got a correction from last week.
Uh-oh.
Last week, my unsung hero was African Bambaataa. And y'all tried to tell me he was recent. But I figured I was right.
He wasn't recent, but he wasn't back with the people you thought he was. No, it wasn't that he was recent.
He came out in the 70s.
Right, that's what I said.
Right, in the 1970s. He became...
Did he qualify as unsung?
Yeah.
If it's your unsung, tell me why.
Yeah, he became probably... Because back then, he was like one of the creators of hip-hop. Back then.
See...
And nobody knows.
He
everybody,
was corny back no. then, but I
listen,
feel
everybody.
You.
I feel but he created. Yeah, listen, he created this sound though. Everybody
fair
looked
enough.
Towards
that's fair.
Sugar Hill Gang.
Go ahead,
and that's right.
She's right. Without him, we don't talk about any of the people we're talking about today. You're
exactly.
Absolutely
see,
right.
Y'all tried to get me. Y'all tried to get me. I had to.
I
that.
Am of the street thought that nobody really followed him until after he got bigger and people started stealing his stuff. So I agree with you. I'm not disagreeing with you.
Yeah, but
why is he unsung?
Because he created the influence. When you think about who created hip-hop, everybody says the Sugar Hill Gang and some of the earlier people. But he's the one who originally brought the sound.
But when they say Sugar Hill Gang and folks like that, I think they say they mean who made it popular, start popping, people start really
yeah,
listening to
it. Yeah, but
it
had to come from somewhere.
Well, no doubt.
You know what I'm saying?
And he's allowed to.
Cool Herc.
It didn't, but.
Cool. Where did it come from, man?
He's somebody.
Cool Herc.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Cool Herc. In the park, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was the one in the park. And
you know, these old folks always trying to stand.
Well, we got to be old because we know more than you.
Cool Herc didn't get paid, but Sugar Hill Gang did.
Not only did they get paid, they got popular.
Yes.
They did.
So I hear you, and we appreciate that.
Yes. All right, well,
because what she said before.
You to creating hip-hop.
To get okay.
All right.
So, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to get right past, move right on past that. If you missed that show last week or any of our shows, you can subscribe to us in iTunes or
you can hit us up on
get
Podomatic.
The Podomatic right this time.
See, I got it. You can hit us up at forthepeople.podomatic.com. That's
hey, clap up, yeah!
She got it.
Every show
she gets
that wrong. And y'all know if y'all want to get in live on the conversation, y'all can hit us up live at 215-609-4301. Or you can hit the text line at
215-435-4099.
Don't forget to say the G-Town Radio studio line
as opposed
and the FTP
to
text line.
Well, they know that's ADAS.
Well,
really
not
quickly.
Yet. Not yet.
I want to give a shout out to some of our loyal listeners and friends who liked us on Facebook. And by the by, y'all, we had a request out there. We was begging. I was begging anyway to help us get over 500. We are now at 500 and what, Chamara?
We're at
526.
26?
Okay, don't make it up.
I don't know, y'all.
Senorita Nora, give us a call in the studio. Tell us what we're up to. Anyway, shout out to Tawana Haley, Rachel Carney, Regina Reardon. Okay, poet. Yeah. I'm a mess your name all up. Forgive me. Poet Loschil, L-O-S-C-H-I-L.
Lost child.
And he made sure he let us know he was $4.99. You go, boy. Toya, a.k.a. Skills Lang, Tawana Bedford, Michael Gray, Cool Breeze, yeah. Lifted to a Toe. Thank you so much. We got more coming throughout the course of the
Alice
show.
Oh, and Alice Stockland, because she liked this, and she says she's going to tune in tonight.
All right, so tune in now, www.gtownradio.com. We got an eager caller. Caller, you're on the air. Thanks for calling for the people. Lauren Plain Language, it's your host, Deb Randy. Who this?
Hello?
Hi, Kala, you're on. Is this Senorita Nora?
Aye.
What's our like number on Facebook, Senorita Nora?
We are at 526 likes.
Wow. Give us the last three names real fast. Give them a shout out on the radio.
Yes, and I just want you to know that you're calling out some of my family members and college friends, so shout out to all of them.
Okay. Thanks for the love.
She ratchet you up.
All right, I can't really hear you guys, so I'm hanging up.
Oh, baby, you got to give us some names, the last three.
The last three people who liked it?
Yes, ma'am.
Jay Hochberg.
What's up, Jay? Jay's a former colleague of mine from the defender office. I thought he was in Alaska being a lawyer with the deer and the. Go ahead.
Jay Collins.
Who was the one before?
That likes the page.
Okay. Thank you, Senorita Nora. Bye bye.
Adios.
Ladies and gentlemen, why are so many of our children being locked up by their schools? Do these children really need to be locked up, or do they just need social services to address their issues? School-to-prison pipeline. What the? What are the financial incentives, if any, and I'm not even going to sugarcoat this one, that might sort of motivate public school districts to lock kids up and not educate them?
Too many incentives.
What do we do to continue to make sure that folks know about the school-to-prison pipeline? You'd be surprised how many people have no idea what we're talking about. And the other side of that is how many people don't give a damn. And you better give a damn if you got kids school age or going to be school age. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a really quick break and be right back.
Flippin' like game from the right brain. Ascension maintained, rolling through like a burning flame. Like a supernova star, she be the light when they in the dark morning. The moon past the sun, four constellations star. So fantastic, it will come as
Language, it's me, your girl, your host, Deb Rainey. And walking in as the hardest working man in Pennsylvania state government, the Honorable Jordan Harris, Pennsylvania State Rep. How you doing, Mr. Harris? Thank you so much for taking your time to come see us. Little people.
I'm glad to be here. Like I told you, you call me, I'll be there.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you recall, Representative Harris was gracious enough to be our phone guest on our Rat-a-tat-tat Part 1, Your Right to Bear Arms, when we had the clips of the Young Bulls talking about they're never going to give up their guns and why. He also visited us in the studio on our Miseducation of Philadelphia when our producer pissed everybody off and talked about Portia.
Y'all remember that? Flashbacks of nightmares.
So he's joining us. And joining us on the phone is one of my favorite recurring guests, the Reverend Pastor Ann Colley, who you would never know was a pastor because she's a really cool lady. She was our on-phone guest for our Down Low show that our producer forgot to record. She was our in-studio guest for two shows, the Breaking the Silence, the Adult Male Survivors of Childhood Abuse, as well as Lifestyle Not Sin, Gay and God Part 2. Ann Colley, hi, Ann. Can you hear us? Ann, are you there? All right, why tomorrow works that out, we're going to work this out. Representative Harris, we're talking about the school-to-prison pipeline from detention hall to detention center. Tell the listeners, how do you define the school-to-prison pipeline, Mr. Harris?
Well, I think the first thing is that, you know, a lot of folks don't see it as a pipeline, but I believe it is. And for me, it's the fact that in Philadelphia currently, I believe there's a 50% dropout rate amongst African-American males. Yes. I think the rate is higher amongst Latino males. And then when you look at those that are incarcerated, we know that there's a correlation between incarceration and the lack of a high school diploma. So for me, understanding how high the dropout rate is amongst men of color and the fact that there is a high correlation between those who are incarcerated and the fact that they don't have high school diplomas, for me, that's what creates the pipeline. They drop out, and then they drop in.
And before they drop out and drop in, what about that conduct among kids in school that ends up criminalizing? How do you think that plays into the pipeline?
Well, I think
to me, I think that's the start of the pipeline. That's where you're beginning at.
Well, I think there is a thin line that I know, in my opinion, that we need to toe, because I think what we've done is, because of some of the situations that we've had, in high schools across this nation, we've begun to criminalize adolescent behavior.
I know that's right.
And here's what I mean by that. Two kids get in a fight when I was in high school. They got sent to the principal's office. There was some conflict resolution. There was some type of discussion to determine what happened, why it happened, and get to the bottom of it. Now,
everybody get arrested. Right. Everybody go to jail. Everybody right. Go before family court judge.
Right. A portion of me understands to a degree the mindset of why things like that happen because of guns and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, as an educator, I understand the development of children and youth and understand that a lot of the things that we're criminalizing our young people for
It
should not be criminalized, and there should be mediation instead.
And Ian, as a current teacher, I know that you don't teach in the Philadelphia public schools, but in your school where you teach at, without telling us where, how does your school, what's the policy of your school with respect to conflict resolution between kids and teachers and their like?
Well, a lot of the schools that I've taught at are Quaker schools or Friends schools. So there's coming from a standpoint of peaceful conflict resolution. That's just the basis of the school. It's what it's based on. So there's really actually zero tolerance for that. When kids get in fights, if they're at a younger age, then there might be some of the mediation you're talking to. But as they get older, especially if it's been ingrained in them, they might get expelled. So, it's pretty important. But
do you call the police?
No. And I can also say in my 15 years of teaching, I've never seen or probably been near a gun in school. So, like, it's a kind of a different sense in that it's kind of the old school kids fighting in the hallway like you were talking about a minute ago. It's not people pulling out guns in the hallway.
Look, back in my day, we ain't going to say when that was. If you got into a fight, you told everybody in the school, we finna fight in the backyard, the backyard, what the hell's it called?
The schoolyard.
The parking lot. Everybody come out and everybody say who going to win. Right?
Right.
Even the teachers sometimes be out there watching. You fight, you get that
you
over with, and you
minutes.
Move on.
Right.
But nowadays, especially when I was a public defender in the juvenile unit rotation, I'm sitting there representing this 12-year-old little girl. I swear to God, she came up to my breast. And I don't mean that way, y'all. She was short. And she was in there because one of the boys in her class made her angry. She threw a book at him. And unfortunately, when she threw the book at him, it missed him and it hit her teacher in the shoulder. And if you don't know, under Pennsylvania, certain jobs are considered protective classes under the criminal statutes. And a teacher is one. So she was charged with the felony of the second degree.
That's ridiculous.
Which is the second highest felony in the state of Pennsylvania.
And was the teacher there to be part of
the
that
teacher
charge?
The teacher was the one that told him to call the police.
See, that's my thing. Teachers have been notorious for... I'm sorry. Teachers have been notorious for sending kids to the principal's office forever.
Okay, so, Bree, it's nonprofit. Get up on the mic. Put it in
my
your mouth.
My bad. Can you hear me now? Okay. So what I'm saying is that for years, teachers have been sending kids to the principal's office and whatnot. But my question now is, what influence does the principals have in this whole thing? You know what I'm saying? Because, I mean, teachers can send you out of the classroom, but who makes that final decision to call the cops?
The Philadelphia school district has a policy. I don't know who writes those policies. I'm going to turn to the Honorable Harris in a minute to ask that. I want to ask Mary this question.
I don't. Okay. I didn't write it.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you remember, Mary used to be DHS social worker. And I have to put this disclaimer out there every time we talk about this kind of stuff.
I'm former.
Mary
now.
Does not speak in any way, nor does she represent in any way the Department of Human Services. Yes. That's the disclaimer.
Can we get Ms. Ann Colley in here, too?
I'm sorry. Ann, can you hear us now? Okay, producer, you got to work that out.
Okay.
So... when you were a social worker with DHS, mm-hmm. all right, back in the day when you worked for them, did you work with any of those schools that DHS had? You know, they had a school. When you were there, did they have that school that was dedicated just to kids in DHS custody? Reverend Colley, can you hear us now?
No, I can hear you. You're fine.
Okay. How are you? Thanks for joining us, my friend.
No problem.
So
thank you for having me.
In the studio, we have, just for your edification, if you didn't know, Pennsylvania State Rep Jordan Harris, a good friend of ours, a good friend of the show. Uncle Terry, thank you so much for making it happen again. Ian Ranzer, teacher in the Friends school system. Mary Truth Serum Pitts, who's a formal DHS worker, but just a phenomenal advocate of children, period. And then we have Ann Colley on the line, guys, who's a clinician. Whenever we need clinical expertise, mm-hmm. we call Reverend Ann. So Reverend Ann also has, if you don't mind, a child with special educational challenges.
Okay.
Is that right, Ann?
Yes.
Okay. And your child goes to the Philadelphia Public Schools, is that right?
No, he's in Montgomery County.
Okay. And Ann, ladies and gentlemen, told me that she wanted to be a guest, and I'm trying to make sure I get her points out. So you heard Jordan Harris talk about what he describes as the school-to-prison pipeline with respect to those that are dropping out, the rates among African-Americans and Latinos, and then the correlation between those going to jail versus not having graduated high school and or having dropped out. I go one step further back, and I say whether it's said, do they still have middle school? Back in my day, we had middle school.
A lot of that.
And then high school.
It's just like almost like, it's almost high school.
It's elementary all the way through.
Or
right?
middle school or now in elementary is kind of blended together.
And I think it starts there in that there's something in that environment that's making these kids drop out. Aside from the home environment where mom and dad may not be together, kid may have to go get a job, I think it's some of the conflicts that these kids have in school that they're not given tools to deal with. I know when the ACLU first started talking about this school to prison, their idea was to find a way to put the school districts in court and say, you're violating our students' right to an education. Damn it, do something about it. What's your sort of consideration of school to prison, Ann?
Well, first of all, you know, I appreciate everything that people have been saying, but also if you've done a little bit, it's multifaceted. When I was in my position as an associate pastor, what I did was I worked within the prison system. Well, not, I didn't work in the prison system, but my ministry was working with persons who came back out. We call them returning citizens. And the statistics show that there are a number of things that are happening. One, we know that prisons are determined by third grade test scores and reading levels.
I told them.
Two, we have to understand that
Hold on for a second. You said prisons are determined. What do you mean by that? Because Chamara said something to me about that.
So states will decide how many prisons that they will need based upon your and my child's third grade reading levels, because they have made a correlation that those kids who are underperforming in the third grade are more likely to end up in jail.
And is this?
And so instead of putting money into school systems, they have decided to put money into the prison systems. And the reason that they've put money into the prison systems, I don't know if you're familiar with the book, The New Jim Crow, that was written.
Of course we are.
Right. But basically, at the end of the day, prisons have become the new industrial revolution. And so where industries have gone away, where we're no longer making things, we're now making prisoners.
Right.
And so prisons are now a billion-dollar industry, and it is an industry for a lot of rural Caucasian employees, and they employ a lot of persons. And so, I mean, you've seen the scandals and the judges who have gone to jail for pipelining children to certain facilities because they're getting kickbacks.
Right.
So, I mean, part of it is, yes, children are not learning and they're dropping out, but part of it is that it's a systematic part of the prejudicial and racist society that we live in that is creating and continue to perpetrate our children not learning, nor do they care.
Let me play devil's advocate here, and I did this before when Brother Harris was on the show before. Ian, Mary, Breeze, everybody jump in. I get a little, I get gas, if you will, because I'm trying not to swear. So that's my new terminology. And Lewis saying that word, I'm saying I get gas. At some point, at some time, when are we, particularly minorities, African Americans, Latin Americans, the rest of us, we have to take some responsibility for some of this. You feel me? We have to be responsible for, we know, we, for example, I know I live in Wilson Projects, right? I know my baby finna go to a public school that ain't that great. The school doesn't give my baby books to bring home because they can't afford it. The school barely gives my baby pencils and pens to take care of his homework and do the things he needs to do. As the parent, I need to take an active role to make sure when my baby does go to school, he's doing what he's supposed to do. In lieu of sitting around, let my baby sell drugs so I can get clothes and shoes, right? In lieu of not going to teacher parent night, half these parents don't even know what their teachers' names are. So at some point, we have to at least admit we have a small role in this. I'm not saying large, a small role, sure.
Right. But what happens to the kids that do not have parents? Right. You know, because sometimes you're in a situation where you have to sell drugs because your mom's a crackhead and your dad's not there. So what happens to those kids?
And unfortunately, my scenario was more reflective of those that do have that one parent there.
Well, I want
to, because they're in a totally separate boat, but we can reach out to them too. Go ahead, Mary. Ian, grab a mic, because I see he's about to blow. Like,
I know. First of all, I want to say I do have over 22 years of working in the human social service field and with the Department of Human Services. I'm going to recall back when I was doing my last year in college, I was teaching with the school system. Actually, they hired me to be an accommodation teacher.
What's that?
Accommodation teacher at that time was teachers who taught the kids that were not quote-unquote teachable or they had behavior
problems. Is that what they call wraparounds or ready wraps or teacher's aids or something?
The accommodation room.
The accommodation room is basically to accommodate those who the teachers couldn't deal with. I'm not going to name the school, but I'm telling you. To me, I think it's a multifaceted problem. If the families are to the point they have no resources and they're dysfunction. I mean, we all come from dysfunction, but I'm saying severely dysfunction, where you have a generational cycle of children having children, the father is not engaged in the child's life. Even me as a former DHS worker, I've seen many times where it was almost matriarchal, where we had family service plan meetings, we were just talking to the mother, and even though we had trainings to engage the father, like most of the fathers, I can count on you, maybe less than 10% was on the caseload. So we had to be proactive in getting the fathers to engage with their children. When I was teaching, I'm telling you, the teacher had to play a role of
social worker, babysitter,
teacher.
So how much of that, though, once again, I'm going to say, parents should jump in and do something.
Let me tell you.
Take your butt up to the school, beat your child's butt when they don't know how to ask. Right.
I'm going to tell you why I didn't go into it. Give me 1 second. I'm going to tell you why I didn't go into teaching. I was heartbroken. I was the accommodation teacher for kids that were in the second and third and fourth grade.
Second and third? What?
Yes. And let me tell
Wait
you.
Wait a minute. You can't teach a second? Really? Come listen, on now. Okay. Nothing I said applies to second and third grade. That's crazy.
I need to really make this plain.
Wow.
Most of the teachers obviously came from the suburbs. They happen to be Caucasian. They did not know how to deal with the young African American men. But listen, it was one Caucasian teacher. This is why I just think it has to do with the heart.
Baby, you can say white. It won't be offended.
It was one Caucasian teacher. I'm not. It was one Caucasian teacher. And she was phenomenal.
There's always
Let me tell you, she had the kids. She had them in check. She was a special education teacher. And they were on a regular level. And they were in special ed.
Hold on one
so
second.
So it depends on the heart of the teacher and what are they in it for. I just think it's so multifaceted, but we have to start with the family.
Caller, you're on the air. Thanks for calling For the People on Plain Language. It's Deb Rainey, your host. Who this?
This is Renee.
Hey, producer. Renee, hold on, Renee.
I'm tuning in. My phone died, so I'm just now tuning in.
Renee, Portia said, what's up?
I'm sorry?
Portia said, what's up?
Portia is the public school system. I'm so sorry.
Wow.
Wait, I am Portia. Now, wait, get out of here.
I started listening to some of the program and tried to reach my phone, plug it in, and I forgot what you guys were talking about.
The school to prison pipeline.
It sounded like you were saying that parental involvement is needed. Is that what I heard?
Sort of, kind of, but anybody else agreeing with me? Remember, this is our show on school to prison pipeline.
No one else is agreeing with that?
I don't think you're right, though, Dad. I think we're agreeing. I mean, I think we're saying it's up to the parent.
The parent and the school need to have a relationship, and parents need to hold the schools accountable.
Well, yes and no.
Hold
too.
On for a second, y'all. I hear Jordan about to blow the heck up. Go ahead.
So here's the thing.
Listen up, real quick. I'm tired of this.
Because I understand what you're saying, but there really is a lot that goes into this, and we're not having a conversation about. I do understand why some parents aren't active in their child as far as school, because some of these schools, they're not just failing the child, but they failed the parent as well. So some of these parents don't feel comfortable going to the school because it's the same school that they failed out of. And when you have those type of cycles created, you have parents who are nervous about going to the school. That's number one. Number two, some of our schools, not all, but some of our schools aren't the most inviting places. Okay. When, you know, I've had people call my office about parents going up to schools, getting the cops called on them and all of that crazy stuff. You know, so you have to take all of that kind of stuff into consideration. Now, is that an excuse? No, it's not an excuse. But I think one of the things that we do, and this is why we don't get to a solution, is we always try to find somebody to blame for the problem. So if you're the schools and people from that perspective, you're looking at the parent to blame. If you're the parent, you're looking at the school and you're looking at the teacher to blame. And here's the thing, there's blame on each end, but there are great teachers out there who go to work every day who love what they're doing. Hold on, hear me out. And there are great parents out there.
Right.
So here's what we don't do. We don't sit at the table and say, what part am I not doing the best at?
Mm-hmm.
And what part aren't you doing the best at?
Hmm.
So instead of pointing the finger, we're looking at how can we come to a solution. And that's not just, in my opinion, on the individual, this parent, this teacher, but this is a system-wide thing that we need to look at.
Wait.
Excuse me, bro.
If you want to get in on this conversation, call us in the GTownRadio.com studio line at 215-609-4301. And if you want to text us on the FTP text line at 215-435-4099.
Let me respond really fast to what Senator has said. And because you're on the phone, when you want to chime in, make a noise so we know you're there, and then briefly pause as you're talking so that we can respond to you, because when you're on the speakerphone, it's harder. So Brother Harris said some things that I agree with. He said some things that what I wanted to respond to when he said that, you know, it's hard to get into the school, it's not most inviting. Alabama wasn't inviting when they put the hoses on Dr. King and the dogs.
So I'm not, you know, I'm not.
I'm a, here's what I want to say. In 2014.
You should see his face.
I'm sorry. Because every time somebody, it's like you invoke the Dr. King spirit. And it's like, you're not
But not just Dr. King, though. Everybody.
No. I got you. I understand that. And yes, parents should push through. But what you got to understand is that, again, if I failed out of this school.
Then you need to stop being selfish and thinking about yourself and your child.
It's not thinking about yourself. Right. You know, look, we need counseling in our community, okay?
Amen.
Because the heck with counseling, No. We need to be, once again, like we used to be back in the 60s and 70s, and reach out to each other. I'm sick and tired of us trying to wait for Uncle Sam to do for us.
They've
demonstrated they're not going to do. We got to do for ourselves.
Listen, I am Uncle Sam.
I know you are.
Let me get this. 10 seconds. Let me get this out. I'm not saying that we need to wait for the government to do anything. But what I am saying is that we need to understand that there are people in our community who are hurt, who are broken adults, but they're still kids. And they're raising kids.
I totally get that.
They're raising kids now. So when I say that they're scared to go up to the school, it's because this is a contentious part of my life that I was not able to accomplish.
Right.
I failed. My father, I'm gonna be honest.
Well, he just
and here's the thing: I had to get old enough to understand why my father might not have felt comfortable coming to my school to come check on me. Well, he didn't feel comfortable because he left school in ninth grade.
Okay.
So the fact that my father never graduated from high school and didn't get out of ninth grade. I can understand why he might not feel comfortable coming up to my school.
Okay.
Not saying it's right.
No.
But it is what it is.
I agree. But he got to stand up and admit, wait a minute. I don't want my child to repeat the same thing I did, regardless of what I've been through. So I'm going to stand up like Papa Pitts did. And others like him continue to do. No one's putting your dad down at all. I totally get that. Let me say this to you. How many CDCs are there? Community Development Corporate. What the heck do they do? Teach everybody how to write a business plan to get a beauty shop and a daycare center. Mm-hmm. Why ain't they writing business plans to go into these homes where we have babies that are raising babies and do something worthwhile? They're taking that money, doing nonsense, and making sure that there's 15 beauty salons on every block, 15 barbershops, and everybody still walking around cuckoo. Can I get an amen?
Amen. I just want to say something with my sister right here. Let me tell you, not only was I raised in the system, representative.
I was raised in the system.
Father got off of drugs, came and got me out of the system, is a minister, went back and got his master's.
Let me tell you,
and by the grace of God, I have 2 degrees. So I'm not just speaking the knowledge. I'm talking about I live this thing. Let me just say this.
Sorry, baby. Go ahead.
I agree with, what's your name?
Breeze.
I agree with Breeze that it takes a village to raise a child. And I'm talking about the church has to step up. I'm talking about the teachers as Ian said. Everybody has to play their part. Mm-hmm. And specifically in the African-American community. No, we shouldn't point fingers. We all have to sit at the common table and say, if I'm a representative, I'm a representative on your behalf. If I'm a minister, I'm going to get your spirit right and strong.
But
if
you
I'm a
know
teacher,
what?
I'm going to teach you. Everybody has to play their part. The reason why it's so weak, how many people are really playing their part?
Before we can all play our part, we individually have to do 2 things. 1, recognize where our strengths and our weaknesses are.
Yes.
And 2, be willing to say, here's my strengths, here's my weaknesses, what can I do to help you out? And we need to make these kids, and y'all can throw stuff at me if you want to, Anne, Renee, everybody chime in. We have got to do something to make these kids appreciate and love who they are. Make these kids take more responsibility and respect for how they deal with one another. Mm-hmm. Oh, you don't owe me $15. Black dude, Robin do, and Nora don't have a shirt, right? Sorry, I went off task.
Oh, I don't have one either.
What just happened?
Black don't have one either. Black don't have one either.
It's an inside joke. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're enjoying our discussion on the school-to-prison pipeline, give us a shout. 215-45. Well, that's my home number.
215-609-4301 or text For the People text line 215-435-4099.
I have a question for everybody in the studio.
Wait, before we do, I want to think more a little bit about what Representative Harris is saying, because I think what he was saying was easy to jump on, but I think I agree with you, and I think part of it, the thing is,
which part
Mary
do you agree with?
Well, let me explain.
I agree with you
took. I know you do.
I agree with the rest. Which is why I agree with that, you. You think I do? I agree with you.
Hold on.
Let him finish.
To me,
let's agree to disagree.
As the program director here, a lot of you, Deb in particular, you've heard me talk about community. It's so important here at G-Town Radio. Well, I think the same is true when it comes to the classroom and all of our schools. So what that means to me is that we have to create the community where our kids feel like they are part of something special, mm-hmm. and that they're the people in their corner. Right now, that's not happening. When these kids, no matter how old they are hearing about how their stuff is getting cut, you know, their schools are getting cut, their schools are falling down, and whether or not their parents are coming or not, they are hearing that my education isn't a priority. It isn't something I need to make a priority to do, and if it's not being done at any other level, then why should I? So when we create that community with everyone, and everybody's the village, whether it's your dad.
But that's naive, and it's not going to happen. And prime example, our station. We have the same group of folks to step up each and every time. But what matters is not that we all step up. It matters is that force, that anchor few step up. And at some point, the others that don't will start to see it and do it. You got to start somewhere. So I think it's naive to say we all, because it's not going to happen. It's 2014. We're not doing that. The folks that are there as the anchor need to continue to be there, right, and keep on stepping up so when the rest finally decide to do so, they can. It's the ones that are there that are stepping off that are concerning me.
But then you're going to have the same kind of – but if you keep doing the same thing, you're going to always have the same – it's like what? If you want to change something, then you have to change yourself and do something a little bit different. And I agree with Ian. It's like – if as a kid that might have dibbled and dabbled in the streets, you get more
she
love.
She said might have. Listen,
you get more love. Look, you get more love in the street. Right. You get more love
but
in the
streets. But let me
ask
you a question.
Than you do in the community.
But what, okay, when you were in the street getting that love, right. What was that love that you were getting in the street that you wanted to get? If you got in school, you would have stayed in school. What's the difference?
Because
what was
like,
that biggest difference?
Because it's like you can feel that they love you. They're teaching you things.
Can
and
I
they're
get
trying
my
to
own
embrace,
textbook?
Right. No, seriously.
We
and
can
they're
start
embracing
there.
Right. And then it's like, I mean, and if you're sharing something, y'all all share it together. Y'all get knocked together. It's that unity. But you don't feel that in the community. It's one. It's everybody's for themselves. It's a selfishness. You know what I mean?
And I think another thing is, public school systems are starting to look like jails. They don't start to. They do look like jails.
I mean, when you walk inside, you got to get patted down.
You ever heard that saying?
Right.
Treat a man like a criminal, he act like a criminal. There's no reason I walk into a high school and it looked the same way as the jails I walk into up on State Road to visit my clients.
Yeah, that's horrible.
And there's a school of thought that people say, listen, they because of the lack of self-control, self-worth, self-appreciation, all the other things, they have these security officers, school police, all this rubber scanner, metal scanner nonsense to keep those kids safe that want to be safe. Guess what? Even with that doggone scanner, let's be real. If them kids want to get drugs and stuff, they're going to do it. There's side doors. There's all these things. You're not doing that metal detector for any other reason but because you want to try to dissuade as many of those kids as you can to stop going to school so you can take that money and divert it somewhere else. Go ahead, Breeze. I see you over here freaking out.
It's about to get deep.
You being graded, Breeze. You being graded. You being graded tonight. Everybody, pay attention. This is Breeze.
Oh, come on.
This is her test.
No, I'm just saying it's about to get deep in here, and I was just gonna let you know. Give us a
put
call.
Put that mic right up
215-609-4301 or Texas at For the People text line 215-435-4099. And I also would like to ask State Representative Harris a question. Now,
if I have to ask you one more time, put that mic in your
sorry
mouth,
about that.
Hit you with.
What type of financial incentives, if any, do you think that the school district that the school district is given to help, you know, to
Mike mouth.
Oh, sorry. All right. What are the financial incentives that motivate our school district to incarcerate and not educate our children? That's if there are any.
I don't
tell me it's not.
No, I don't think. No, I don't think there's any.
I'm gonna slow you down right there. I'm gonna stop you right there though. Okay, you said you don't think there are any.
If you, I didn't finish.
Said, let me say what I'm finna say.
I was about to say. Let me
try to chop you up. Y'all got beef or something?
You got us earlier.
One at a time. One at a time, guys. One at a time.
I'm just saying. Personally, I mean, I don't know of any financial incentives for a school district to want to incarcerate a young person.
I got a mind-blowing one for you.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, here you go.
Mike.
Let me get it all up in the mic. According to NASDAQ, okay?
What's NASDAQ?
The American Stock Exchange, okay? Let's see. How can we put that? Retirement funds for public school teachers and other government employees in several states have a combined $90 million invested in CCA and GEO. Those are the largest private prison companies in the world.
Wow.
$90 million in retirement money in school.
Wow.
That alone is incentive enough. That's your school incentive.
Hold on for a second. Producer, we're gonna flip over. We got somebody trying to call in. We'll put you right in the hot seat. Caller, you're on the air. Thanks for calling for the people on Plain Language. It's your host, Deb Rainey. Who this? Caller, are you there?
Yes.
Hi. Papa Pitts from North Kakalaki. How are you, Papa Pitts?
How you know it's me?
Because I know your voice. So what
you're
you got?
In and out.
What you got for us on the school-to-prison pipeline, Papa Pitts?
I got something I want to say in there. You tell me when to start.
Go.
You say go now?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Okay. I hate to invoke this word. We're dealing with human beings, and we have removed the key element that keeps us human, and that's the spiritual side of life. Now, I know you're going to come off the wrong way receiving this, but you got to receive this. The only difference between us and animals is that we do have a soul, and animals don't have a soul. So we have a spiritual part that needs to be fed. Now, whether it's fed demonic or whether it's fed, you know, from our Father, our Creator, it's up to us. The choice is up to us. But the choices we have made, we have starved the soul or the spiritual side of man. And the results of it, you got animalistic people. You're talking to a young man who went into the prison system as a youth at the age of 14. I was at 21st and Fairmount. 21st and Fairmount is Eastern State Penitentiary. That's where I went because I was 6'1", weighing over 250 pounds.
So you was a monster.
When I finally got to Camp Hill and completed my 5 years, I learned that the system was in such that the community was removing. This was 1966 when I finally got out. The community had changed. There was no love, no family life, no mother and father. The Bible's been removed, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The spiritual life's been removed. Now, when I go back into the prisons, when I go back into the schools, when I go back into the same places where I was a prisoner, I go back as a minister, I go back as a policeman, and I see the key thing that's missing in our communities, in our homes, in our schools, in our country, in our nation, it's God. I hate to tell you that.
So, but let me stop you for a second, Papa Pitts. Papa Pitts, I got to stop you for a second. I got to stop you for a second.
Is spirit. That's what's missing.
Well, here, let me stop you for 1 second. I think that I have to disagree, but not in the reason that you think I disagree. I am a believer in God. God ain't got nothing to do with this mess. And let me tell you why. Hold on.
When I say God has nothing, he's available. We can make choices. I'm not blaming, pointing a finger. I'm just telling you what's missing.
No, I know you're not, but
when we listen to a foreigner come in this country and tell us against, they took our Constitution that we wrote and told us that it's illegal to have the Bible in school, and they removed
But
the Bible
hold on for a second. Hold on, Papa Pitts, stop that. Papa Pitts.
And he can't open a Bible.
Hold on, Papa Pitts, for a second. Hold on, Papa Pitts. I know, but listen. I need you to do me a favor. When you speak, I need you to pause so the rest of us can respond. Number one, understand, the Bible hasn't been taken away. The only thing that our founding fathers and our justices say, our country cannot choose one religion over another. So we can't glorify Christianity over Islam. We can't glorify Jainism over being a monk or something else. Christianity's not, Bible's not taken away. Uncle Sam, our federal government, just can't take part in it. That's all. So I get a little roused when people say, you got to put God back in it. Well, what about Allah? What about the people that the Jain folks worship? The issue's not that creator. The issue is the spirituality. It's everyone agreeing to that there's some power that unites all of us. And I think, hold on for a second. When folks start talking about God and making that the all-time being, and you shut the rest of the folks around you down because you don't give them, not you, Papa Pitts, in general. When this conversation occurs, you don't give other folks whose beliefs are different the same sort of consideration. Mm-hmm. I agree with the spirituality piece, but I think the If you start going to that religiosity thing, I think that's when you start offending folks. That's all.
Can I revoke the word religion? The only thing, the word religion just simply means something you do repetitiously. We go to the bathroom every day. We defecate every day. We urinate every day. That's religion. That has nothing to do with the creation.
I feel you.
What's missing from the element of human life in our nation is something called love. Let me just call it love for now. For the lack
Papa
of
Pitts,
love.
Papa Pitts, I got to stop you for. Hold on, baby.
Standing together, they're living together as father and mother, but there's no credibility, there's no character there being taught in the home.
My love, I need to let my other. I need to let my other guests.
Turn them down. So therefore, there's no real structure.
I love you, Papa Pitts, but we gotta let our other guests get in. Don't hang up. Just bring Ann in. Papa Pitts, hold on for 1 second. We got a guest on the other line that wants to make a comment. Go ahead, Ann.
I just wanted to add to something he said. He said, if I'm not mistaken, he said the only thing that separates us from animals and humans is that we have a spirit and they don't. But in actuality, in addition to having a spirit, we also reason, and animals do not reason.
Right.
And so as human beings, we have the capacity to control our emotions. Whereas,
really?
Yes. Animals just, they respond, they act on their natural nature. Whatever that nature is, they respond. We have the ability to control ourselves and to not respond necessarily to our emotions that we may have. That's self-control, executive functioning, so on and so forth. That's the first thing. The second thing is, and you know, forgive me what I'm about to say, but it blows my butthole wide open when we say that the part of the reason that the schools are the way they are is because the Bible isn't in the school. Because first of all, the God that I serve, if God lived in you, you don't need a Bible in a school.
I know,
because
that's
the
right.
God is in you when you walk
sister.
Into the school.
Amen.
So I don't need to carry a Bible. I should be the Bible.
Right.
Whoa.
Right. Right.
All
right.
So let's. That's the second point. And the third point is, and I want to go back to one of the gentlemen said, is that we're always trying to find a somebody to place the blame on. And so we continue to have these conversations.
That was
at the end
Harris.
Of the day, there is enough blame to go around.
I know that's right.
Everybody who is impacted in some way, who is affiliated in some way with this system, can take a piece of the blame.
Amen, so sister.
Like,
amen.
Like when I do counseling with couples, and I tell them when they walk in the door, you know, everybody is culpable in this issue that's going on. Now, everybody may not have the same percentage of culpability, but all you all are contributing to what is happening. So all of us, so like he said, parents, the systems, so on and so forth. So the question I think that we need to, you know, the conversations are fine to find out where, but at the bottom line, you know, because as a therapist, I can tell you that really it all stems from slavery, and I can give you reasons and PTSD and how they set it up and how that disoriented the African-American community. I can also tell you that part of what I believe is that desegregation was the beginning of the end for the African-American
community. And I agree
community.
With you, too.
And I'm not saying that we go back to segregation, but what I'm saying is that a part of us lost ourselves. When we were segregated, whether no matter how much money you had, we had to live amongst each other.
Right.
We had to be with each other. But then when the haves, quote, of African Americans began to say, oh, I can now buy in the white, they began to leave the community,
right.
And they forgot where they came back. So there are a number of reasons how we got to this place. So the question is not how we got here or even necessarily why we're here, but what do we do to change the dynamics of where we go? Anytime I can't get a brother to see his child, okay, that he can walk away from his child or disown his child, we already know that that stems from when slaves ripped families apart, and so men have a way of protecting themselves. Now, that's not an excuse. It's just so we can't ignore all these systemic issues that are happening in society. But once again, you know, this conversation is sort of circular.
Right.
The question is, where do we go from here? How do we implement things in order to turn it around?
And let me stop you for a second because Jordan Harris is about to blow up. Go ahead.
No, I just wanted to respond.
Yes. Y'all should see his face. He's about to blow up.
Enlighten me, please.
To this ludicrous assertion that has been made
by NASDAQ.
First of all, I don't know what you're talking about. I think here's a first. That's one of the problems. I think we're looking for a conspiracy.
That's
theory.
My crew. Forgive them. Though.
We're looking for a conspiracy theory that outlines and tells us why there's a problem.
Right.
So now all of a sudden, teachers' retirements are investing in prison. So that's why schools are crappy. No. First of all, the teacher in the classroom doesn't know where their retirement money goes.
Exactly.
The principal doesn't know. The superintendent probably doesn't even know. There is an investor mm-hmm. who sits at a computer and decides what things to invest money in. And here's the thing. I think you could find just about anybody's retirement invested in a whole...
But we're talking about schools.
Hold on. But if you're a savvy investor and you see that privatization of prisons... And these big, powerful companies that own prisons are making money. You're going to invest in them, teacher.
But when you have the school-to-prison pipeline, don't you think that's some type of incentive?
But I think that's ludicrous to compare for number one. The teachers and all of them in the school district have a right to invest their retirement fund where it's going to make money, regardless of whether it's privatized prison or not.
But a stat like that tries to make the insinuation that teachers are sitting there in classrooms.
Right. No, I think it's wrong to use that statistic the way it's trying to be used.
Right. Like, it's like, oh, because I'm everybody send this kid invests away in that.
It's not the overall reason.
But if he goes to prison, that helps my retirement. Nobody is sitting there thinking.
No, I don't think she's saying that. I think the point is. Hold on, but he didn't. But how's he gonna know that? He's a state rep.
I found that it was true.
All right, hold on, for a second, y'all.
First of all, is that the Philadelphia School District?
Yes. It's actually not.
You got to get on the mic.
It's not only the Philadelphia School District. I said states everywhere.
I hope that.
So is it the Philadelphia School District?
Is the school to prison pipeline only in Philadelphia?
That's not what I'm saying. Okay. Your stat talked about teachers invest. Teachers' retirement.
But
being
teachers,
invested.
Teachers so don't question, invest their own
and
money.
Here's my problem
when we do things like this. To take a mundane fact like that, mm-hmm. for which one, the teachers nor the school district themselves, the principals, the administrators, have any control over.
No. Okay, this
so
is
let's,
true.
There's some more stats that we can look at right. that blow
that's
us in the
just
eye.
One.
So ignore that one because that
wait,
one
wait,
I'm
wait,
not
wait,
buying.
Wait, 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 wait. Before we ignore it, before we ignore it, I have a quick question. I have a quick question. So suppose these teachers do know that they're...
So what?
Okay, wait. Suppose they do know that their retirement fund is invested in these prison companies. Are you saying that they're not going to say, okay, well, I could turn a blind eye to this situation, but instead, I am going to actually turn these...
But come on, they have a right to make money.
I'm just saying.
Y'all are very, very cynical.
One at a time. Turn the volume down.
I understand. No, no.
It's too loud. First of all, I think it's ludicrous to say that because a teacher wants to make sure they build their pension that they can't invest in CCS.
I'm not saying that the teachers even know. No,
hold
the teachers don't even know.
But even if they did know, so what? They have a right. Look. They went into the public schools in some of the cities, the worst places in the world, and at least made the effort to teach our kids. Why should they say, ooh, I'm not going to invest in CCA, which is the Corrections Company of America, one of the largest private prison companies in the country, because we have the school to prison. That's ludicrous.
Well, how do you
Let's
feel-
not compare apples and oranges. That's ludicrous.
I don't think it's
how
apples
is this an apple and an orange?
Because the teacher's investment of their money has nothing to do with what they can do right
it's
here,
not,
right
not,
now,
teacher,
in
not-
the school by saying to their principal, let's stop calling the police on these kids.
Right.
Let's develop counseling sessions. Let's go hire some counselors to come in here and
you're
talk to the...
Point.
I'm not missing your point.
You
your
are.
Point's well, ludicrous.
No, it's not.
We're taking a break. We're taking a break.
Wait, hold on.
We got 10 more names that we want to give thanks to for liking our page and helping us get to 500 to 526. Hold on, Black. Go ahead, Black.
All right, so the 10 names would be shout out to Pastor Leonard R. Norris III. Shout out to Just Saying. I'm just saying. Shout out to Justin Collins. Shout out to Latifah Douglas. Shout out to Diane, Kimmy, Kiki, Lili, Taylor.
Dang, all that.
Kiki, Lili, what's up?
Kiki, Lili. All right. Shout out to Demetrius Greenwood. Shout out to Esther Collins. And shout out to Richard Abdul Haiti Stout.
Good love. Thanks for looking out, y'all. We'll be right back.
How'd I get stuck living like this? Bitch, a fucking perfect step away. A symbol to fit your design. There used to be a heart in here. Tell me how good in it things of mine. Keep beating still. Like a tin man, I play the part. I wish my heart, I feel so artificial when I'm loving you. I can't. You go and do that. Sorry if you can't.
Look at her trying to be the mixer. Welcome back to For the People on Plain Language on www.gtownradio.com. G-Town, know what?
A sound from Germantown.
Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to the very raucous, rambunctious, and just all-out battle.
Right.
School to Prison Pipeline. Joining us in the studios, our everyday fam. We also have the Honorable Pennsylvania State Representative Jordan Harris. Fabulous man. Just great man. We don't agree with everything he says, but he's here and he's real. We want more representatives like Jordan Harris.
Right.
We have the venerable Ian Ranzer, host and DJ of Mount Airy Groove. I was going to say Garage.
You got it.
And teacher extraordinaire. And if you guys Google Ian Ranzer and teacher is me, they're going to come up with all kind of wonderful comments about him from parents, and it's amazing. We have Mary, Truth Serum, Pitch. What's up, Mary?
What's up, beautiful people?
We have Ann Colley on the phone, pastor, clinician extraordinaire. We did have Papa Pitts from North Kakalaki. I'm not sure if he's still on the line. And at some point, we had Simply the Producer. And we have a new budding team member, and I hope folks are out there keeping track, letting us know whether she's going to fit in or not. I think she is, as long as she learned how to put the mic in her mouth. And that sure is will. Breeze. What's up, Cool Breeze?
What's up?
On the other side of the break, ladies and gentlemen, you heard a hot and heated conversation, and I'm going to tell you what started it. Some old nonsensical bull crappy.
You can't say that. That's making the audience
statistic
biased.
About
hey, excuse me, lawyer?
NASDAQ saying that the
Attorney
teachers
Randy,
from
the audience
schools
biased.
Pensions is being, they bought some stock
Wait,
in CCA or some other nonsense.
It's a fact. It is a simple
Read it again.
Fact.
From whom?
Okay, Attorney Randy is making the audience biased. Objection.
Objection.
That means I'm good at my job. Not guilty. Reasonable doubt.
I never once
Read
said
it again.
This is Breeze. I never
Get
once
up in the
said,
mic. You
I never
put the,
once
you
said
go.
That that is the overall problem. With
but
the
you still mentioned that
pipeline.
Nonsense.
But that's because I asked the question.
Read it again.
I asked
for
the question.
People,
I said, okay, hold on. One
she
second.
Put Representative Harris
asked,
on blast.
I didn't mean to. I said, look, what are Hot the financial? I said, what are the financial incentives that motivate our school district to incarcerate and not educate our children?
And let me flip that.
Second,
what are the financial?
If you want to get in on this conversation, call 215-609-4301. And if you want to text the FTP line, 215-435-4099.
Tweet us at FTP Law. Gotcha.
Bam.
Is this
was just my question.
Is disincentive a word? It is, right?
Disincentive?
I can give you a disincentive why our schools would rather incarcerate our kids than educate
Fair
them.
Enough.
Because
now,
their parents won't pay their daggone taxes in the hood to help give our school district money.
Because
Tom Corbett already said he ain't giving Philadelphia nada.
Heard that.
So.
Now, wait. Let's go back to my
that nonsense.
I think that's the basis of the real
the
issue,
only,
bull crap. Of course
I
it is. Because we're black.
That, but
yeah.
Look, the only. Let's go back to that. My question.
Read that.
When I
read
asked
that
the
fact.
Question, okay? When I asked the question, Representative Harris said no.
He
there
said he's not.
He said not that he's aware of.
Right.
I don't know.
But why would he know about students, about teachers' pensions?
Well, he's a state rep.
His job is to write laws, not worry about
well,
who invests
so
money.
Okay, that's fine. And
read that nonsense, bull crap stat they read for
I
the
don't
audience.
Have one of those, but I do
read
have
that
this.
Read that
National no. Association of Securities, okay?
Now read that.
That's the dealer's
Read that nonsense that you said.
Okay.
Bull crap.
All right.
Bull crap.
Come on. I don't have any bull crap, but I'll read you this.
Hold on one second, Breeze. Hold on one second. That's like that they be talking about. We be like, who they? I don't know. You know, they said. Go ahead.
I never once said that.
That's they right there.
Who's they?
That's they. Go ahead.
They. You really trying to grind me up tonight. That's okay. I think I'm all right. I'm coming hard next week. I'm coming uber hard next week.
Read that nonsense.
Retirement funds for public school teachers and other government employees in several states have a combined $90 million invested in CCA and GEO, the largest private prison companies in the world. Now let me make a note
Bull
that
crappy.
Most
Hold on.
Teachers
caller,
do not
you're
know.
On the air. Thanks for calling For the People, Law and Plain Language. Papa Pitts, I'm so sorry. I was hoping you called back. Listen, I needed to get the other caller on so she can make her comment. Thank you so much for calling back. So were you able to hear what Ann Colley's her comment was after
yes,
you were talking?
I was able to hear almost 80%.
Okay.
You guys the volume is way down low on the phone.
On the phone,
but
okay.
I pick up bits and pieces. I can't really hear you on the phone that
okay.
well.
So here's what I want to ask you because we're running out of time. We got a lot of stuff yet to cover. Papa Pitts. You are giving an inspirational speech to a bunch of single parents, young parents. You want to impress upon them the importance of education. How do you phrase this and present this to this group of folk to make sure that what you say hits
it.
Okay.
I don't know what you're talking on, but I wish I could give you a good phone.
All right. So, Papa Pitts, can you hear me better now?
I hear you just a hair better now.
Okay. So you're giving an inspirational speech, and you're doing something special at your church. You got a group full of young, underage.
Yeah, but it's more than inspiration. I'm not really trying to. I'm really trying to invoke light.
I know, but listen,
right
listen,
now,
listen.
You're talking about what do we get? Why are they invested?
No. I'm trying to wind down because I'm about to run out of time. I'm giving you a task, so listen up, so I can give you your task. As an inspirational speaker, your task right now. Now close your eyes and envision this. You're in a room. You're the speaker, and your listeners are young, underage parents, let's say 18, 16, 17, 18. You have some 40-year-old moms and dads who just got released from prison, and you're trying to impress upon them that they need to take responsibility and ensure that their kids know how important education is to them. What would you say to this group of people?
See, it's not just the school system. What I'm really trying to impress upon them is that they have to come together and like each other, love each other. A child can't learn in an environment of hate. If there's no family life, there's no structure to learn for the child. It's almost impossible. Mary will tell you that. You can't teach a child to do anything when you have torn their foundation away from them.
Papa Pitts, that I hear what you're saying. But unfortunately, this whole lofty family ideal left 20 years ago. Now we have to deal in today with the families that we have. Some of our families only have a mom.
What I'm saying to you is we can take what we have
right,
and patch the holes. We're going to have to do like grandmas do now. We're going to have to take pieces of garment and patch them together to make sure we close up the holes. If you don't know...
You gonna cut up grandma?
Close up the holes. Those that do have to step in. We have to use what we have.
That was the point that I was trying to make.
One of
okay.
the things I don't think you're aware of, most of you are not aware of what the prison, why they are investing in the prison system. Let me just share with you.
Papa Pitts, unfortunately, baby, we don't have time. Papa Pitts.
Commonwealth public schools are made in the penitentiaries. We had a wood shop that you wouldn't believe. You don't know the brooms and the buckets and the mops and the fire extinguishers and all the different materials that were made by prisoners, free labor. You don't know how many highways I walked and laid bridges. You have no idea of the forestry camp that was taken care of by prisoners. You don't know the free labor. It's free when you pay a man 25 cents a day to do a job that's $10 an hour. You don't understand how much money they were getting out of the prison system, which is 90% black men at that time. You have no idea.
I'm not too upset about that, though.
When that structure has been attacked,
teaching them skills.
They have to feed it. They have to start wars. You don't understand the ramifications of what's really happening in this country.
Papa Pitts, let me hold on for a second. Papa Pitts, I gotta cut you off. Papa Pitts, I gotta cut you off.
Run away from each other instead of embracing each other.
I got to cut you off, Papa Pitts. We're running out of time, and I got to get around to my other guests. But I do want to say we always appreciate your comments and what you offer. And it's always refreshing to hear the ancient ideas of the way things were when you were going through it and how it compares now with everything that we're doing now. I know that we're a society where we learn from what we did in the past. Some of the things that we went through, we learned from. Some we haven't. Let me go around the room really fast. And Ann, since you're still on the phone, let me start with you. We're running out of time, so what I'd like for you to do, what is it you want folks who are listening to this show to take away from? Oh, wait. Tamara's giving me some stuff. So, Sister Ann, what can we do to plug up or sort of at least slow down this school-to-prison pipeline? What are some ideas that you would present to Representative Harris and his brethren up in Harrisburg when they're thinking about contemplating bills and the like? What would you say to them?
Based upon the experiences and the work that I've done, I would basically say that it starts at home and having more programs that assist parents. So we've talked about, I heard the comment that, how does the mother who flunked out of the school go back to the school and then help her child? Well, you know, having programs that assist those parents who may not have started off successfully, but giving them the path to help their children as best they can through parenting programs, so that they may not necessarily, so that they can be confident within themselves. Because at the end of the day, no matter how much money you throw at anything, no matter, the schools can be the most polished, high, you know, every IT, every equipment, but if when that child goes home and there is complete chaos and dysfunction, it almost throws out what you're doing at the school. Mm-hmm. And so providing supports for these parents so that they can see hope in themselves, and then they can be models of turning things around that. And obviously, you know, there obviously needs to be more money put into school systems.
Sure.
And that, I mean, but that goes without saying. There are just not enough. The stories that I hear of schools right here in Philadelphia, particularly on the west side, who don't have books.
Right.
The teachers are going out and buying supplies, and they're making copies. And it's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous.
And
it's horrifying to say that we think that we are a nation that's a great nation.
I know,
but
that's
right. I heard a statistic that educationally we rank 119 out of the world in education.
And I'm surprised we're that high. And thank you so much for your comments. Thank you so much for participating. Now over to Sister Mary. Mary is a true advocate of children in all facets and of all needs that kids have. Mary, based on everything we've said here tonight, I've seen you agree with some stuff, disagree with some stuff. What is it that you think we need to do in order to make those steps towards at least slowing down this school-to-prison pipeline?
I think we need to sound the alarm because the spirit of Herod is in the land.
Who's Herod?
Herod was the king that was trying to kill all the kings, all the male men. It's a biblical story, but it has significance. So, in just short, those who are in position, like Esther, she was in a position to save people from genocide. She needed a Mordecai to say, look, you're not in this position to look cute. So I'm saying to my state representative, those who are in different positions, whatever position you play, play it. You're not in there to carry an attaché case. You're not being a preacher to get money and pimping people. You're not in a position on the radio to talk junk. We all have to play our position. This is war. This is war. For us, we got to realize our black men, cattle slavery is in effect, 2014
Amen.
Style. Okay, for us to sit back, and I'm not saying us, for us to sit back and make it look like, play on words and things like that and turn a blind eye. No, Esthers, you in that position to save a nation.
I know,
so I'm
that's
calling
right.
all of us Esthers tonight.
She calling you
we
out, Esther. Get up. Do your thing.
Do our part. I don't care how much money you making. I used to work with the city. I don't care how much money you making. I did my job. I knew that I wasn't on them. Getting the paycheck is just a benefit.
I know,
but the
that's
real
right.
purpose is for you to be in that position, to do your part, to make sure that these young black men are not going from the school to the pipe to prison.
I know
and
that's
they are
right.
going and they're going fast.
And we
they're
need
going
to do something.
Fast.
Amen.
The parents need to wake up and realize your son.
Wake up all the people.
Your son, that's right. They're going straight to prison.
Amen.
This is for real. Okay? I worked in the school system. I came out the system. We all got it. This we gotta take this for real.
I know
and
that's
like
right.
everyone is saying, it takes a village. But if every Esther play their part.
Play their part, then everybody else
will
play their part.
We can argue all day. I'm not pointing fingers. I'm saying you're not in a lofty position just to sit back and say, I made it. You made it to help someone else.
I know that's right. God bless you, Mary. Ian.
Say hallelujah.
The super DJ gracious enough to join us. And I'm going to tell y'all something. I want you to put Ian Ranzer in your browser and Google this dude. His students, the parents, they love him. We need more teachers like you.
Thank you.
You are contemplating transferring to West Philadelphia High School.
Good. As you should.
Now, Ian, you are walking in for your first time to parent teacher night. You know there are around about 475 kids in the school.
Yeah.
But you walk up in the parent teacher meeting, around about 9 parents is there.
Basically.
What are you going to say to those parents to let them know that you're not going to be part of the school to prison pipeline? You're aware of it. You know it's there, but you want to take a positive role. What you going to say to them?
Okay.
Let them speak.
Well, I mean, I think first and foremost, I think our communities, you know, is that I'm on their side. And I think Representative Harris made a great point that I think is also not only for the black community in Philadelphia, but I've seen this also in rural Vermont. The parents went to that school. They had an awful experience, and they think they don't understand that there are teachers there that are on their side and not out to get them. So I think the first thing I would do is make sure they understand that I'm on their side. We're part of this community. We're a team. This isn't an adversarial role, and you can't do that. You know, as far as when we get bigger than that, and we think about money and funding and stuff, I mean, that's outside of what I can do. But, I mean, I do think that taking money away or withholding money is not going to solve any problems. I think there's no way to do that. Also, another thing I think Mary said before, it's very important. You stick me right now in West Philadelphia to teach, I am vastly unprepared. And that's the truth of the matter.
But you're honest, though.
Well, but that's the truth, is that there needs to be teacher preparation programs that prepare teachers, both black and white, and no matter what your race, and that say this is what you're going to encounter and this is what you need to be ready for. Because, you know, yes, I got a great education, and yes, I was lucky enough to get my education degree, but I'm not ready to do that. Right. I mean, I would do my best, but I'm not ready to do that.
Thank you for your honesty. State Rep Harris, one of my more favorite representatives. You and Rosita, my two favorites. So, State Rep Harris, you are about to pitch to the committee of, what's the committee that's involved with schooling and all that stuff? What's that called?
School Reform Commission.
There you go. Okay. You heard from your constituents, the folks on the For the People Law and Plain Language show said we need some school reform. We got to plug up this school to pipeline prison, this prison, school to prison. The folks on this committee, though, are young men and older men who are from Montgomery County. Chester County, Delaware County. They own 5, 6, 7 acres, have no fathomable idea of what it's like to be involved with urban school districts. How you reach them on this committee to get them to see what you need them to see?
Well, one of the things that I do in
you
Harris,
do that every day, right?
Yeah, one of the things I do in Harrisburg is try to make issues that pertain to urban America make them matter to rural America. And one of the things that I typically talk about is the funding and, you know, how we're, you know, right now in Pennsylvania, the Department of Correction budget is the third largest budget out of our general fund with regards to receiving state dollars. So a lot of times when I make those kind of claims, or, you know, my colleagues understand it from a dollars and cents perspective, that, you know, it's cheaper to educate a child than it is to incarcerate an adult.
Amen.
So if we look at it, from that perspective, right now I think Philadelphia spends about $12,000-$13,000 to educate a child, and it costs about $40,000 to incarcerate an adult. So I think that's how I make them understand. But before we go, I do want to address a couple issues. I got to get this out. You know. And I said, you know, I talked about conspiracy theories, and I still hold fast to that statement. I think a lot of times we focus on this big bad boogeyman, or this guy or this woman who was pulling strings, and we're actually wasting time by looking for this mysterious person and not necessarily dealing with real issues. So, for example, one of the things that I'm doing in Harrisburg, I'm introducing a bill that expands the SAMS program that the district attorney has now.
SAM is a small amount of marijuana program where it's designed to keep you from getting a criminal record for 30 grams or less of marijuana in the city of Philadelphia.
Right.
It's not going to work with the rest of the Commonwealth, I guarantee you.
Well, so we're going to introduce the bill, and I think we will get the bill passed, and I think we'll get it passed because the reality is it makes more financial sense. That's number one. Number two, you know, let's look at it from the perspective of African Americans and Caucasian Americans smoke marijuana at the same rate, but African Americans are 5 times more likely to be incarcerated for it. So, you know, so we're looking at how do we do that and how we expand that across the state. That's number one. But the point in bringing that bill up is that's what we should be spending our time talking about. If we really want to talk about prisons and prisons being full of black and brown men, we have to talk about the laws that have been shown to be racially motivated, and the laws that have shown to be discriminatory, and how they are executed. If we want to really talk about how we change the system, The system is looking at those laws and not looking for the big bag boogeyman who doesn't exist.
I don't think it's changing the system. I think it's changing those that are part of the system. I agree with you. Well, the system's fine.
You got no.
It's
you got
the way
do
we
both.
Execute it.
No, you got to do both. Because some folks you got to move out of the system.
Fair enough.
And replace them with folks who have more of a conscience than the folks that are there now. But even still, there is a framework. There's a system that is going to be there. Here's what I mean. We will always have a governor. We will always
Hopefully
have state
not
reps.
Always a racist pig.
We will always have state senators. We will always have a president. We will always have Congress. The True question that. Is, who are those folks
Amen,
in those positions?
My brother. Right.
That's
Amen.
The system that we should be looking to change. Because okay. when you change that system, then you change the laws that those systems create.
Exactly.
And once you change the laws that those systems create, then you see that we can have laws that equal put that
the
put
hip
an equal
bone connected
playing
to
field.
The knee bone. The knee bone connected to the. Sorry, go ahead.
You have an equal playing field, and you see that we see less laws on the books that are looking to criminalize and penalize and not necessarily restore communities and restore people back to their neighborhoods. That's what we need to do. That's the big, bad boogeyman
that
everybody
need to
needs
about.
To be talking about.
Jordan Harris.
My nickname is Boogie.
We're running out of time, guys. We're running out of time. We run into Broken Troop Show's time. Right now, as we do on every show, it's over to Sister Black. You, my man. Good God Almighty. Go ahead.
Right. If I can squeeze my two cents in there real quick, I'm going to say that the entire Philadelphia school system should watch Lean on Me and go find Mr. Clark.
Hello.
That's all I'm saying.
Right. We need more Mr. Clark. That's what it is. We need more Mr. Clark.
All right. So this piece is called From Learning to Living. From Learning to Living. From textbooks to tech nines, from classrooms to cell blocks, from educating the free mind to educational suicide, our path has been poisoned. And the voice of our teachers is fading, is bouncing off of walls of classrooms built like cages. I call it preparation for destination, and the system believes that our children are destined for prison. This path has been poisoned. From textbooks to dope boys, from dope boys to dope fiends, from dope fiends to can't breathe, you faded, just like you did in school. Success wasn't expected from you, so when you were absent, they didn't notice. From textbooks to left hooks, you were punched into statistics, where the only way you'll make it to college is if you make it past the prison. This path is poison ivy, when it should be Ivy League, when college should be a requirement instead of a distant dream. But the harsh reality is, Philadelphia school kids feel like they'll never make it. And this is the mindset of third, fourth, fifth, and sixth graders. From textbooks to backpacks, from English to math class, when we get smart enough to do the math, we'll realize that the poison in our path is a lack of education.
Wow.
Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to For the People Law and Play Language on www.gtimeradio.com. Coming up next, stay tuned. The Broken Truth Show.
Yeah.
That's our time. Say bye, fam.
Bye.
We out.
Presented on For the People is provided as general legal information. The general legal information is intended to inform consumers, is not intended to substitute for specific legal advice as it relates to the listener's specific legal issue. Consumers are cautioned not to rely on the general legal information broadcast on For the People as legal advice. No attorney-client relationship is created, intended, or implied between the consumers of For the People and Deborah Rainey Esquire, the Compassionate Lawyer, or the Law Office of Deborah D. Rainey. Please consult with an attorney for your specific legal issue.
All personnel, listen to Morning Feed at 10 a.m. Monday through Friday on G-Town Radio. Ed Feldman talks about every single thing.